testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
The Lord will speak through this and we'll learn even more why it is that we are called, not only from the foundation of the world, but we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, God never makes a mistake. That is why he's completely and totally sovereign. And he makes no mistake over our lives, even though it may look a mistake, and we indeed do make mistakes. Yet God, in his infinite wisdom, never ever gets it wrong. Completely, utterly in control of all the circumstances, all the supposed failures, the victories, everything. We are never for one moment, one second, out of his mind, his heart, his protection, his plan for our lives. We are part of the perfect will of God. And we need to hold on to that, because life can become very complicated and complex, and many times we wonder where the Lord is, or how could God be in this situation, or how could he be using this to turn it for his glory. That is where we have to let God be God, and all we are to do is to simply look to him, trust him in everything and every facet and area of our life and walk. And so, with that brief introduction, this is what we're teaching this morning, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. And I want to base this teaching on 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Actually, we'll look at the two verses of 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So our overcoming, our allowing God to change us, to purify us, to work with our hearts, our affections, all those things that he works with, verse 2 is very applicable. Because it says, beloved, now we are children of God, or sons of God. And here it is, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So how are we walking at the moment, each day? The first part of verse 2 tells us, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. So it hasn't been revealed. And at times, we get disgruntled, disappointed, because we're not seeing anything. I'm not seeing things really as I would like in my life. I am not seeing much in the church, and so on. And this is why those who walk by faith are anchored in a different realm. They are not anchored to this world and what the world offers and its confusing messages, its despondency, its negative, everything that is about the world. Those that are anchored in faith in Christ are not really affected by it and don't even take it seriously in that sense. Yes, we are to pray. We are to pray for our governments. We are to pray for our areas, our communities, our neighbour, as well as, of course, praying for the church and the saints. But we're not persuaded by it. We're not influenced by it. We're not knocked off our perch when we hear a bad report or we hear bad news or whatever it would be, because our anchoring is supernatural. It's not of this world and what this world offers. And if we understand that, then not knowing what tomorrow will bring doesn't affect us, doesn't hinder us. And of course, this was the principle of how all the saints were called. And of course, we know Abraham, he was called to such a walk as this. It's the same with us, not knowing where we're going, what tomorrow holds, or whatever. We live in the moment, today, now, with Jesus. And that is how you walk in the Spirit. That is how you walk with God. And your mind and your heart, your whole being is set upon seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and him alone. That is ultimately what the deeper life in the Spirit and walk is about. And that is what the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit in your life, he's working out in you day by day. But we spend most of our time planning and predicting tomorrow and the future. And when it doesn't happen, or when it doesn't turn out how we thought or how we like, we become very disgruntled, depressed, and so on. And yet, do we learn from this as believers? Unless God speaks to us, unless he stops us in our tracks, we will continue making the same old mistakes over and over again, planning our lives out as though we have it all under control with regard to the future. And yet we don't. That is the whole point. You see, the irony of all this is we are pretty accurate to its outcome when we start planning. And to be uncertain, it vexes us. It causes us to begin to become uneasy because I am not in control. And we like to plan our lives because we're pretty good at the outcome what we're planning. And when it doesn't happen, that is when we start to become vexed, disillusioned. What is happening? And many times, God has to sometimes stop us doing all this planning that goes out of his will. Because our life is ultimately called to a walk of obedience. And a soldier obeys his command and doesn't question. He doesn't plan against the commander, but waits for the command in which to fulfill whatever duty he or she has. But when we become uncertain about the future, it starts to vex us. And our minds then start to become open and subject to the powers of darkness that start buffeting. And we all know about that one. You see, we think that we must reach some predetermined goal. However, that isn't the nature of the deeper life and a spirit-filled life. Your planning is not to cause you to determine some event that you are aiming for. Now, it doesn't mean to say that God doesn't bless us, because he does. But we're called to a spirit-filled life and walk, and a walk of faith each day with God. That is the purpose and the reason why God still leaves us on the earth. For that purpose, to work in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And the nature of the spirit life, or the deeper life, is that we are certain of our uncertainty. That's what it should be. I'll repeat that again, that we are certain of our uncertainty. In other words, I am totally certain. I don't have to rush to the scriptures, to the Bible, to know that I walk by faith, and I don't know what tomorrow or the end of the day is going to bring. That I am absolutely sure about. And that's what starts to make this walk interesting, exciting, and different from the world. But for some, that terrorizes one. It is fearful. And yet it's the very means of us letting go. When we let go, how often have we experienced then God coming in and taking over, restoring that peace and joy to your heart and spirit? Why do we still hold on to these things as though they're going to last forever? Everything we're told, the Bible says, in this world is passing away and will pass away, and it will finally and eventually be burnt up. The idea of burning up is like a scroll being rolled up. It was open, it's had its use, now it has to be rolled up. That's what the end will be, when God then brings the new Jerusalem, the new abode, from the new heavens and the new earth. And we need to get this one from our heads to our hearts. So you don't put your roots down where there is uncertainty, but what we are planning, we do, don't we? And so when I plan, it means I can put my roots down and feel secure. How stupid And yet we do it because we don't like the uncertainty. And yet it's the very uncertainty that we walk by that makes all things certain in Christ Jesus. We've got it round the wrong way. And we wonder why things are not happening. We wonder why we don't see changes that we want to see. We find it hard, don't we, when we haven't seen or experienced something in our lives to commit to. So we don't put down our roots or whatever it would be. Because I haven't experienced it, I'm not going to really trust it. I'm not going to put my roots down. And yet our roots should be firmly secure in our faith walk with God. That's where our roots should be. Firm, resolute. That's how Jesus walked, and it's how we are to walk. And yet there's an area with us, I don't think I can quite trust this because it's not my experience. And yet, you're crying out for that experience, but you hinder yourself from having that experience because you're too afraid to put your roots in the right place. We are, at times, in our faith walk, our own worst enemy. And we're looking too much to other things and other situations. We're looking to brothers and sisters where outwardly it didn't work. Or supposedly didn't work. But so often, God is doing a much, much deeper work with us all. We can't see it all yet. We're, in other words, a work in progress. And we try to judge it. We try to work it out. We can't work it out. We can't work out what God is doing with each of us. It's too deep. It's too infinite. It's far too complicated. All God wants of us is to believe for one another, to pray for one another, to believe the best for one another, to be in faith for one another, not to try and work out and plan a brother or sister's life. That's not what we're called for in the house of God. True fellowship comes out of believing the best for our brother and sister, ministering to them, and not myself wanting to be ministered to all the time. There are so many in the house of God who want the attention, who want to be ministered to, instead of ministering. Fellowship is fundamentally about ministering, and it isn't to you. It is to your brother, your sister, to the needs. That is what true fellowship is about. But we're such selfish beings that God has to work with us. He has to work with these hearts, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why we're talking about this morning, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. That is what we're talking about today. And that's why we find it hard when we haven't seen or experienced. For example, with regard to divine healing, I can't really trust God in the area of healing because I've not experienced it, or I've not seen anyone healed supernaturally. And so we build up this wall. We convince ourselves. We reread or rewrite the scriptures. We change the scriptures to our own feelings or our own circumstances or experience. And that's what many preachers do today. And that's why they're off. because they're preaching it out of their own unbelief, their own experiences. We dare not change the word of God, what he says to this dying world. What he wants of us is to believe it. And it is in the believing the experience starts to come. And the believing says, do not put your roots down in your planning, your scheming, this world. Your roots are in faith. The supernatural walk, that is where our roots are to go down. And God will not forsake us. He will not leave us in our walk of faith. It might look as though he has. It might sometimes look as though he's late. But it is always the perfect will and plan of God in our faith walk. And yet we're putting our roots down in the wrong place. We're trusting in the arm of the flesh. And the arm of the flesh will let us down. Don't trust in man. He is unpredictable. The things that he invents, his inventions, most of them are unpredictable. And yet we put all our trust in them, don't we? This is why when you fly in an aeroplane, you make sure you're in faith. You have prayed. You've covered the plane with the blood of Jesus. Because what you have, you're flying in is what man has invented. So God uses man. He uses these inventions. But don't put your roots down upon them and trust them. You walk a different realm. You're simply sojourners passing through this world. You are of another world, another kingdom. You are already with Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places by faith. What does Galatians chapter 5, 16 say of us, how we're to walk? You see, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us in the Spirit to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That is the purpose of the baptism. To get us beyond our feelings, our emotions, what is going on in our mind, or what I see or what I hear. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. We know this well, but it's our walk in the Spirit, what Paul is speaking about here. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh look to rely upon man and the arm of the flesh. That is part of it. And he goes on, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Do we not all wish to trust God, to walk by faith, to believe in all his promises? That should be a desire of our hearts if we're all truly born again. That's healthy. Now, to attain that, sometimes we fail. It takes a few times. But the point is, the key to it is the walking in the Spirit. And he goes on, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And Satan likes to try and keep us under the law. Because the law condemns. The law can't redeem. Christ has fulfilled all the demands of the law. That was the Father's will. That is what pleased the Father. So he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. So that's what produces if you keep trusting in the arm of the flesh, if you keep going to man, looking to man, relying on the world, you will start to get caught up with all its uncleanness. idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts, wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, and so it goes on. And sadly, you can find that in the house of God. People, saints, can't get on with one another. Critical. Problems. There it is. And there's the problem. Because they aren't really walking after the Spirit. Their eyes are not totally fixed upon the kingdom, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem. They have envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here it goes. This is what makes fellowship in the house of God. Here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so it goes on. Crucified. The flesh is to be crucified. And that is where you settle it with God. You don't have to try and work at crucifying the flesh. If you settle it, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And yes, it can be painful, as the cross was very, very, very painful for our Lord and Saviour. We'll never fully understand that. But God will bring a death eventually to your jealousy. He'll bring a death eventually to whatever it is you're battling with. Whether you're critical, angry, lusting, you name it, the cross will bring a death to it. That is the nature of the cross. And that is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to do that work in your life and my life, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. But you need to desire this. It must be a want. It must be things that you pray about. It is not running away from my weaknesses, but it is facing them head on, because that is ultimately what God wants. God wants you before him in dialogue, in fellowship, where he can deal with these areas. He cannot deal with you when you run away. And most of us have tried it. And it's just the mercy and grace of God that brings us back. Because we didn't do it. It wasn't in our heart. But it was in the Father's heart, because he doesn't want to lose you. He's paid a price for you. It cost him his life. So there we are. Not knowing what tomorrow will bring, but just to trust God and walk in the Spirit. And it means I'm uncertain. I don't know. But that is what faith is about. And that is what it is to walk in the Spirit. I'm certain about God, that he will lead and guide me. It's not knowing what tomorrow brings. Now, do we have a fear about not knowing what tomorrow brings? Maybe some have still got some fear attached there. And maybe you need to go before God and confess it. and renounce it. Because that may be stopping you from totally trusting God. And if that fear is there, then you are constantly planning and scheming your life. Because you feel secure by it. But it is a false security. You see, unfortunately, we're not very happy with this, are we? And yet this is the one of the most liberating experiences with walking with God. This is liberating, brothers and sisters. This is actually setting us free from so much anxiety and fear. Because I want to be in control. I want to predict my destiny. I want to know what I'm doing next month or in 6 months' time. That's nothing but pride. That isn't to a man or woman who walks by faith. For us who walk by faith, I haven't a clue about tomorrow. But I know tomorrow will look after itself all the while the Lord tarries. And wherever I am, wherever the Holy Spirit leads me, that's where I am at this moment in the perfect will of God, in fellowship, in harmony, and walking with Him. That's what He wants. And that's when things then start to happen. I'm convinced this is where the greater works will come as a result of this. Somebody said this, and it's very, very true. We are uncertain of the next step, but certain of God. I'll give that again. We are uncertain of the next step, but certain of God. And brothers and sisters, that is what it's about. I don't know what my next steps are, but I'm certain to the fact that He says He will lead and guide my footsteps. And I rest in that. I rest my case. That is how I walk. And you see, if we abandon our complicated lives on Him, then suddenly our lives become full of surprises. And they will. And you will begin to see what God can and will do through you. Because your life is a surprise. Your life is fresh and new. Your life is new manna every day. When you're in control, it's because you want that old stale manna. And then we begin to become depressed, frustrated. Oh, it's not working. Poor me. When your heart is crying out for that new fresh manna, because only God can give that fresh new manna. And it means to trust Him. And this was the principle how Abraham was to walk with God and all the saints. Called out to walk with God, not only himself but his family. Didn't know where they were going, but looked for a land of promise and saw it afar off. That is why you have a vision. Remember, I spoke the other week about a vision, how important it is. And we have been given a vision through the Deeper Life teaching. A very blessed vision. But if we abandon our lives completely on Him, then it starts to become full of surprises. Giving God all the praise and all the glory. It makes your life exciting. Starts to put a smile on your face. Starts to lift those heavy hands up and start praising and worshipping the Lord. And getting excited about Him. How the enemy tries to put us down in depression and oppression. It is a huge problem in the world today, depression. They reckon 4 in 10 now in the world, in society, suffer with depression. bipolar. That is telling us something, is it not, brothers and sisters? It's telling us that man is crying out for God in his life. And yet in this nation, we're absolutely pagan now. God isn't even there in man's mind and thinking. The churches, most of them have failed. They live like the world. Because they don't walk by faith, trusting God, believing in the promises of God. It's easier to trust in the arm of the flesh. But it will fail. It will let us down. That is the whole point. And that's why Galatians speaks about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. When you walk by faith, you walk in the Spirit, it deals with all those problems that we had just read about. Deals with all those envies, murders, drunkenness, anger, resentment, criticism. Deals with all of that in fellowship. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we're all in the same boat. We're all labouring together in the vineyard. Nobody's going against a brother or sister. We're all in harmony together, believing, agreeing, moving forward. Now, only God can do that. That is supernatural. That is a miracle. Can't work in the natural. Well, we see it in the world. Even your governments, they don't even agree together. Did you know, even in the demonic realm, did you know that demons don't even agree together? They fall out with one another. They don't get on. That's the nature of the fall. It's what it does when God is not in your life. But when we let go, our life becomes full of blessing and surprises. You see, we have to have that simple childlike faith. And that is what God is working. If there's anything I see at the moment in FGA that he's working with and with me, he's stripping everything with us so that we have that simple childlike faith. And when we get that, we're not uncertain of God then, of what he's going to do or is about to do next. We just rest in the fact that he's utterly, completely in control. But those who are planning and are in control of their spiritual life, unfortunately, if they don't take heed, they don't repent and bow the knee, if they want to continue to be spiritually in control, then what starts to come from them? They start to become critical, resentful. They become blinkered. They can't hear or see fully what God's saying and doing. And not only that, but they'll always justify themselves and they'll use scripture in which to do it. Sad. In other words, they deceive themselves. And not only that, but those who fall into this trap, you'll also find that little is happening in their lives. Because they're in control. They're believing in the wrong things. And this, of course, is a problem with religion. That's why religion doesn't save anyone. Because they're in control, believing in the wrong things. They think if you believe God, all of you believe God, that's good enough. That's what the ecumenical movement believe. But it's not of God. When God gets hold of your life, He deals with every facet and area. No stone is left unturned. And only God can do that. It can't be achieved in any other way. So not knowing what tomorrow will bring. That's what we've been looking at this morning. Now, as I close with this, we all of us, of course, have commitments. We are part of family life. And so there are things that we do. But you will find that God includes that in your spirit-filled walk, because you're not to walk away from your responsibilities from your family, or if you have children, a wife, or vice versa, whatever it is, you have responsibilities, and God works accordingly with that. The sin is my wanting to be in control in my future life and walk, tomorrow, next week, 6 months, or whatever. That is what is wrong. And we have to burn our bridges. We have to let go of all those areas that we're still holding on to, that's complicating, hindering our life, our walk. And if we find it difficult to let go, then we seek God as to why it is I can't let go. What is the problem? And remain there in a prayerful way and attitude and consecration, and you will watch God starts to begin to work. And he starts to change in the inner man, because the point is, we are never going to trust God if it's not first in the heart. So he has to put that in the heart, and then we move in accordance. And as we move, we step out in faith. There God meets with us and is always faithful. And we find that we don't go down, just like Peter when he got out of the boat. As he looked to the Lord, he was walking on the water. The moment he took his eyes off God, he began to sink. It's the same principle for us every day. That is what makes this walk such a blessing, so interesting, full of surprises. We, all of us, have a testimony where, yes, we took our eyes off the Lord, we were sinking, but even the Lord, in his mercy, put out his hand to hold us and bring us back up. You have an experience of that. There is not one in this room, I believe, who has not had an experience of that. Now build upon that. If God did that for you, how much more? As you begin to move out, he is not going to let go. He is not going to forsake you. And I'll tell you why as I finish now with this. Because we are dealing with God's glory. We are dealing with his name. We are dealing with his precious word that is sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That is why. Hallelujah. God is in complete control. Not knowing what tomorrow will bring.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon.